You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about health. What does it mean to be healthy? What does it mean to honestly be healthy and to have a healthy life and lifestyle? And you know, the other day I came up with an acronym, what I believe healthy means, what I think that most people, most of our listeners as well, would agree to what healthy is. And healthy, I believe, stands for honest, eating, authentic lifestyle, truly happy you. Honest eating, authentic lifestyle, truly happy you. And I think that that really, to me, spells and explains what healthy is. Because in order to be healthy, we first have to be honest with ourselves. Honesty is the best policy, we've heard. But you know what honesty means? Honesty means that we're actually being honest and truthful in what we're doing on our day-to-day life. And I'm not just talking about our actions. I'm also talking about our emotions, our feelings. Where are they coming from? Why are we experiencing these feelings? Why? Where is the core, and what do we need to do? So being honest with yourself is the first step to creating a healthy life and a healthy lifestyle. I believe that tonight's show should be dedicated specifically to how we fulfill the obligation of being honest. How are we honest to ourselves, and how does honesty actually make us more healthy? You know, I was thinking about honesty, and I was thinking about honest and how we are honest or not honest with ourselves. And I was thinking about, well, this has to really do, really honestly and ultimately, with what do we need to do to be honest, and what does it really entail in our life? And so let's talk about being honest in our life. Let's talk about what that means. And I think in order to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest and step up to the plate about our emotions. Where are our emotions actually coming from? We all have various emotions that come in day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour. But what do those emotions mean? And why do I feel a certain way? And there's times when, you know, you walk into a situation and you might feel a little overwhelmed. There might be some negativity. There might be some stress. Where is that coming from? And a lot of times we don't really think about where it's coming from. We just think about the immediate situation right there. And sometimes that can actually lead us off path from what's really happening in our life. And, Bill, you and I have really talked about this a lot in the last 2.5-3 years.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting how our emotions really do make up the way we feel in any given day. And sometimes those emotions could be, they're all from inside of us, right? But sometimes those emotions can come from the way we feel about what somebody said, the way we feel about what somebody has done, our thoughts about the past, our thoughts about the present, our situation. But a lot of times it doesn't really arrive by being in the present tense. I figure that when I'm in the moment, I don't really have like an emotion besides maybe joy.
Okay.
Or happiness, but I rarely, if in the moment, have that feeling of just despair.
Okay, yeah, because when you're emotional, at least in the context you're using it now, you're actually living in the past. You're reacting to something that has happened, either recently or, you know, maybe not recently.
You're right, but it had to have happened not now.
Right.
And it like when people say that pulls on your heartstrings, or that makes me emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think those are interesting concerns because I feel emotions a lot of times, yes, when I look toward the past, I feel emotions, let's say like when I watch a film.
Okay.
Like I'll watch a film, let's just say, example, Forrest Gump. I don't know anybody that's ever seen Forrest Gump that didn't cry on the scene where he's got the kid and they're going to put him on the school bus and or the mother is, you know, is dying in the deathbed, or, you know, his girlfriend that he ends up marrying ends up dying from AIDS. There's all these different things that really activated the tear factor in a feeling of maybe not necessarily sadness, but a feeling.
Yeah.
But I was watching someone else in a film. And in my life, it's interesting because the only time that I ever feel, I guess, maybe sad, I rarely do, but when I do, it's always something that happened in the past, and maybe I didn't feel like I did the right thing, or I felt like I got slighted, or I felt like the truth wasn't made clear on every side.
What about a death in the family?
That's hard. That's why, and yeah, and you think about losing that person.
I mean, because for me, that'd be the only exception to what you're saying, because I remember when my grandfather died 5 years ago. Well, it was, and he was in hospice. Okay, so it wasn't like it was sudden, and we all knew it was going to happen. He passed away of cancer, and so there was sadness there. When Granny called all of us and said, "Okay, come up here and say your piece."
Last, yeah,
and I had a profound sense of sadness.
And I remember
while it was happening. But I mean, to your point. That's really the only exception to what I can think of as to what you're talking about.
And how do you feel still about your grandfather's passing?
Well, I'm still sad. I mean, actually, no, I'm sorry. Let me back up. It depends upon what I'm thinking about, because, random events will happen and it will remind me of something. Most times it's a happy thought. I remember when Granddad used to say this, or he did this or whatever, but every now and then it'd be like, I'm in a situation that I could use his advice on, and he's not physically here, and that makes me sad.
And I think everybody listening tonight can sympathize with that, and probably are having an emotional feeling right now about somebody that they've lost and somebody in their past has passed away.
Yeah, listeners listening to me saying that, yeah.
And I think that we can all gravitate to that. I think it's interesting, too, when I feel sadness, I do, and I really underline that again, is that I feel like maybe I wasn't able to say everything I wanted to say.
Okay.
And sometimes maybe I don't realize the factor, the part or the counterpart that I believe that when people have passed on, I believe that they understand your feelings. I believe that it's a little harder, however, with the living. I feel like with the living, you really do need to have that closure, or you really do need to speak your piece directly. And I think a lot of times we wait on that and we let it fester, and then we never get that chance. Or when we do, we're so overwhelmed with this emotion that we've been holding back so long that it doesn't come out right.
Well, I've always thought, I've said this, to my grandmother and other people before, funerals are for the living. The dead person doesn't care. Dead person doesn't care if you bury him or cremate him or throw him out in the ocean or whatever. Funerals are for the living. And I think the primary reason is just what you said. It's the chance for the living to make their peace and have their closure with the deceased person and come to terms with that person is, in fact, deceased.
I agree with that. And it's interesting. I just think it's interesting when I have clients that come into my office all the time. Now, whether it's therapy or coaching, and most of the time in the therapy type, actually it's for both. Because a lot of time, everybody needs help, okay? And everybody listening tonight knows that there's something in their life that they just don't seem to be able to get right, no matter how much they've tried. And it's interesting how when clients come in or patients come in to discuss something, the emotional root from where they're feeling this emotion isn't necessarily where they think it is. It's almost like the concept of transverse pain, or pain, so you feel pain on one side of the body, but it's really coming from another spot in your body.
Okay.
You know how we have that sometimes?
Okay.
Like people will be like, well, I'm feeling the pain over here, but it's kind of radiating over on this side. And the thing is that that's what the body does sometimes, and it's not necessarily where the pain is, or where you feel the pain is might not necessarily be the site of where the pain is. So a lot of times that's what happens with our emotions, is we feel a certain way. There's a certain trigger based on a situation that triggers us to feel a certain emotion, and we don't really know where that's coming from. And so we place that emotion on whoever's around us or the situation at the time, and we find issue with that. And something just recently happened to me. Actually, it happened last night, and it was with my spouse. And it was interesting. I came into the house, and everything seemed fine, and I was in an extremely good mood. I had had a very productive day, and I was feeling good about it. And all of a sudden, something just wasn't right, and I felt like there was something wrong something was going on over there. I didn't understand what was going on with him, but there was something going on. And I don't ever want to say, I mean, being with my background and a therapist and just knowing that people don't like it if you say, what's wrong with you? People hate that, you know. What's wrong? What's the matter with you? You got a problem? You're looking at me all, you know, you got the stink eye look, you know. But no, instead you just kind of play cool. But, you know, his response to me was, well, when you walked in the door, you were in a bad mood.
And, wait, that was his response to you?
And I went, what? And he goes, well, I looked at him finally and said, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. When you walked in the door, you were in a bad mood.
And you were just like happy as a lark.
I'm not kidding you. I was actually singing as I walked to the front door. I mean, that's how happy I was. And you know, sometimes it's not always the case. But you know what? I was singing a happy song on the way to the door.
Uh-huh.
Okay, like it was like that happy. Like I was like, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, trying to feel good, you know. And I'm like, got the key in the door, and I'm da 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 da, and I'm doing a little dance, you know. And I get in the house, the dog's happy to see me, everything, and all of a sudden, you know, 20 minutes into this, and I walked in a bad mood. Okay, well, I didn't walk in a bad, and I know people listening tonight know that they've been in that same place, and you feel like you're crazy. Like, you start wondering, did I walk in here in a bad mood? Was I being sinister? Was there something in the back of my head? Do I really feel that the Walking on Sunshine song is the anthem of the Satan? You know what I mean? Is that what it is? Is that what I was doing? Was I really channeling Satan when I was singing that song? And so I literally was dumbfounded, because at first I thought that he was just trying to mess with me. And I know that we've all felt that, too, about our spouses or our girlfriends or our boyfriends.
Greg would never do anything like that.
No, never. Not at all, right? So I felt like he was trying to mess with me, but then I realized that he wasn't kidding. He really thought that I was the one in the messed up mood. And there was nothing I could say or do to change that. And I think a lot of times when we are not, when we don't really see our emotions straight up, we don't realize what's really going on. And in those situations, we might feel that somebody else is being cross. Someone else is out of tune. Someone else has the problem. But in these situations, we really need to stop and check and see, what happened today? What happened at work today? What happened today with this, that, and the other? Did I get yelled at? Did I get called on the carpet? Did I get overworked? Do I feel unappreciated? What is it that's coming from me? And I have to check myself. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about emotions, where they come from, and how to figure that out, as well as how to continue to be honest and healthy throughout your life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about the concept of being healthy. And what I think healthy is, and what I think you would have to agree healthy is as well. You know, because a lot of times we hear that word, they're healthy, or in order to do this, this is healthy, or this is how I eat, this is eating healthy. But what is healthy? And I think healthy begins with being honest. Honest eating, authentic lifestyle that's truly happy you. And I think the beginning of healthy is being honest. And when we're honest with ourselves about everything in our own life, it's the first step in creating a healthy life and a healthy lifestyle. So, you know, what do we need to do to be honest? What does this entail? And right before the break, we were talking about the concept of emotions and where are our emotions coming from? And I think that's interesting, because a lot of times we don't always necessarily realize why we feel a certain way. You know, I've been in situations where it's even around interesting, funky energy, where maybe you were in a good mood at one point in time and now you're not feeling it anymore. Maybe you're feeling a little off, you know, and I think interestingly enough, our emotions play a big part in our happiness, because if we're always unhappy or depressed or feeling lonely or feeling stressed out, our ability to feel happy is going to be rough. We're not going to be able to attain it that well, because we're going to have to overcome these specific emotions that we're feeling at that time. And I think the way to really regulate our emotions and to understand them is to understand, why am I feeling this way, with the fact of what just happened? I mean, if this emotion just comes up and just starts, you have to sit there and analyze what just took place and when did it start happening, because it had to have been very recent. And I know for a fact, I've been in situations before where it's something that somebody says and that triggers something else that makes me feel a certain way. And a lot of times we don't really think about those things. We kind of brush over that or we don't think very much about it. But it can lead us into a spiral, as well as sometimes when we've had emotions and these specific feelings that have lasted for a long time. Like depression, like feeling empty, like feeling sad would be an offshoot of depression. Like feeling lonely, that would be an offshoot. Why am I feeling lonely? What's the reason for my loneliness? Is it because I just lost my husband? Is it because, you know, you just lost your spouse? Or is it because you feel lonely even in a group of people? You don't feel like you can be yourself. You feel like you can't
be
yourself.
Like you don't fit in.
Like you don't fit in.
Yeah.
And you can't be yourself. So you could have a group of 50 people around, but you still ultimately always feel lonely. And so why is that? Because if you always feel lonely and you're always trying to get around other people, but that doesn't seem to help, then that's not really being honest with yourself. Because in order to be honest, you would have to sit there and say, you know what? Every time I go out or do something with people, I don't feel like I can be myself. And unfortunately, that's unfortunate. But why do I not feel like I can be myself? And that's where the real question lies. Not, are these the right people? Or are these the right groups? Or should I be calling these people? Or what? It should be, why do I feel like I'm lonely and I'm separated when I'm with all these people? And I think I've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like a few times you're there and you go, what is it? Why do I feel like I can't be my? Why am I not good enough to be myself?
And for you to say that is really extraordinary, because you can fit in with just about anybody.
And, you know, that says something about, you know, about a personal stance. I think most people can. I think that the thing that holds us back is ourselves, right? Because we don't feel maybe like we're qualified or everybody else is better.
I know, speaking from my own experience, because I'm pretty much the opposite of you as far as personality types. And so I'm pretty introverted and naturally shy. And I have a hard time fitting in with just about every group of people, because large groups of people just make me nervous. And I much prefer a smaller, intimate setting. Where I feel like I can, you know, get to know, you know, the person around the table or people around the table. If I have to go into, especially in a situation, here's what really gets me. Especially if I go into a situation where I don't know anybody. I mean, you talk about a wallflower.
Really?
I'm really uncomfortable in that type of situation. Because, again, I'm naturally shy and it's hard for me to just introduce myself to somebody I don't know.
I understand.
And I get really stressed out.
You get really stressed out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people take anxiety medication just for that reason, social anxiety. And I mean, so what's the reason for being stressed out? Why do you feel that way?
Well, because like I said, I'm naturally shy. So I feel like people are just going to take a look at me like, who's this idiot? You know, what? You know, do we not have anybody screening the door? You know, I mean, who are we letting in nowadays? How did you get past security? You know, I mean, that type of thing.
What's the difference, though, than not making eye contact and not talking? I mean, how does that make you feel?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, so instead of like introducing yourself or saying hi or getting in the groove, does it help to be the wallflower? How does that feel, though? Because it seems to me like it's even harder to stand outside of the circle than to kind of just put yourself out there.
Well, again, that's because you have the type A personality. It's natural to you. For me, it relieves the stress to be outside the circle, because then I can, you know, I can be a chameleon. I can, in, you know, become invisible with the background and nobody notices me.
So you don't want anybody to notice you in this situation.
Right.
Wow.
Now, I've become better at it over the years. I mean, if I had to go into a room full of people I didn't know today, mm-hmm. I mean, I would be uncomfortable, but I could do it. And I could go in and say, hi, my name is Bill, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it took me a long time.
Well, I think a lot of people listening probably have gone through the same thing. And that's the thing that I think is timeless, because anytime you walk into a room and you don't know anybody, it's always a little overwhelming. And it all depends on the way we look at it. If we look at it like a dragon that has to be slayed, it's going to feel overwhelming. If we look at it as opportunity and a possibility to meet some really cool people and that this is just another opportunity, we kind of see it in a different light. And I've been in, I only remember one specific group. I mean, I've had some overwhelming groups of people I didn't know that I had to kind of get over that stress level. But I know of one particular group I was at, and I remember walking in, and it felt like all sharks.
Yeah. They're like, just ready to pounce.
I was like, oh, geez, you know, and I'm looking at people that I've only heard about or, you know, in business and what have you. And I remember at first I felt like kind of stepping back. And I did for a second. And as I stepped back, I basically stepped on someone's feet.
Oh, no.
And I was like, hey.
And I bet you're wearing heels, too.
Yeah. And I was like, how you doing? And so the next thing you know, we started talking and, you know, and they felt the same way. Wasn't really their cup of tea, you know. And it was interesting, though, but I look back and I wish I would have not stopped myself. I feel like I could have met more people. I feel like I could have done more had I had not stopped myself. And the biggest thing was that I was by myself, and I was technically by myself. I wasn't there with anybody.
Right.
I only knew a couple of people, and they were extraordinarily busy with this whole thing. And all these people, you know, you've only seen, you know, I've only seen on TV on the Academy Awards and what have you. And you know, they're always ones running for best production and this and that. You never really see them in real life. So it's not like it was something like that. So it was very interesting scenario, but I do remember that a lot of it was based on my fear of being me. Would I be accepted? Would I be accepted in the group? And I think sometimes we ask these questions, but it's like, the first question that I like to ask now is like, when you're like, think about it in an interview setting. A lot of times when we're in our first interviews, and I think most people can contest to this, when you've been in your first interview or your second or your fifth or your whatever, when you were younger, you were always trying to tell them why you would be the best candidate, why nobody else would be better. And now the older you get and the wiser you get, you start wondering, are they the best person to work for? What do you offer? Why should I come to work for you? And I think when we start thinking about that side of the table, and we're not always thinking about us fitting in, but we're also looking at them, it changes everything. Because all of a sudden, it's no longer we trying to please them. It's like, this is a two-way street. I mean, I could like you, you could like me, you might not want to talk to me, I might not get along with you. But at the same time, I have just as much value as you do, and it's a two-way street. And when I was able to, you know, understand that kind of situation, it put me on some different footing. And now and again, it's hard because we all have our emotional ebb and flows. We all have our emotional ups and downs, especially women. Women, we have it more than men. And it's a constant deal. I mean, there's nothing, we can't get around it. It's the way we're made. It's the way the human is made. And so with that in mind, the best way to deal with these emotions is to honestly be able to evaluate them. And what I've found in my life, and I'm not saying that everybody has to go with this, but I'm saying that this worked best for me. And so I think that there's some credibility here. I got off of all pharmaceutical drugs. And the reason why I did that is because it just, I thought I needed them. Okay, so there was I was on one specific drug, and I thought I needed it because I had it, you know, I had issues with attention and stuff like that, and I would take it to really be to really be able to focus. But over the years, I actually trained myself by a lot of deep training and a lot of focus about how to actually focus myself on a second to second basis. And I worked for years on it, and I didn't just use the drug as a crutch. And because of that, I stopped taking the drug. And yeah, there's some days where maybe I don't want to learn how to do a new computer program. Maybe there's some days that I don't want to upload the last 7 shows to the website, okay? I mean, those are things that I maybe never really liked to do to begin with.
You were pretty busy today, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know it's been one of those ones. But yeah, but it's like I realized once I got off of all these pharmaceuticals, and I wasn't on very many. I was only on really one per day. I'm like a lot more clear. Like, I know when something's coming on. Or when I feel an emotional change, I feel it. I know it's coming. And that's why it's even more clear for me to realize where other people are coming from and to know if you're dealing with a spousal issue or you're dealing with a friend issue or you're dealing with other people in a room, to know that it's not all about you. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking about more about pharmaceuticals, more about our feelings and our gut feelings, and also begin to talk about how we're actually living our life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking tonight about being healthy, what it means to be healthy. I think a lot of us think that healthy is kind of a lofty word, maybe a word we don't really know what the definition is. But you know, to me, healthy is being honest, eating, authentic lifestyle, truly happy you. And it all begins with being honest. Being honest with ourselves, being honest about our personal emotions, being honest about our feelings. And right before the break, I was talking about my concept of getting off all pharmaceutical drugs. And I'm not saying that everybody has to. I'm not advocating that there's no use for pharmaceutical drugs. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that there are some that are good out there. And there are sometimes we have to train ourselves sometimes to use a drug to be able to work with cognitively working with ourselves to overcome a situation.
Or at least some sort of pharmaceutical substance.
Pharmaceutical substance. Bill pulls in that one. I like that one. Yeah, you're going to put any five leaf type plants out here in a second? Green leaves?
You know, an assortment.
He's going to be like 24/7, 420. We're doing it live. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people that are big into cannabis, you know. You know, my thing about cannabis, though, is like, you know, I know you don't have to get stoned to get the uses of the product, you know.
Right.
They have like that cannabis oil, and there was a guy that was telling me about this in a meeting earlier today, and he was talking about how you can just like rub it on your body and it like cures things, and you can take like tablespoons of it. It doesn't make you high at all, and you can actually get it at Whole Foods too. It's called hemp oil.
Okay. Yes.
It actually cleans out your liver. It
right.
Actually helps you regenerate your liver.
Yeah.
Your liver cells. Wow. I mean, like, it's a total another world. This just happened right before we got in the studio, and I thought that was pretty interesting. But I realized that when we're taking certain pharmaceuticals, it takes us off of our ability to really feel. You know what I mean? Everybody out there that's ever used pain medication knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's the thing about pain medication is that you can take pain medication and you could break your foot, take pain medication, you go out there running, I'm fine, I feel great, you know, and then like 4 hours later, you're in the ER. And a lot of times we don't realize that these medications actually kind of take us off point, and we're not consciously able to really focus on how am I truly feeling?
Yeah.
What's really going through my mind right now?
Well, and you know, Ashley, now correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, this is just a observation because I've never been on, you know, the type of medications that you're talking about either. I mean, you know, ones that are for emotions, okay? Like I guess the most obvious example that comes to my mind is depression, okay?
Okay.
Let's say someone's being treated for clinical depression, okay? Well, the type of medication they're taking is designed to suppress the chemicals in the brain that are causing, because, you know, that's, you know, really all, if you want to get kind of down to the scientific level, you know, the things that cause emotions are chemicals in the brain, and the amount and the distribution of those chemicals
or
in the
less,
brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. More or less, or right. Of this chemical or that chemical. And medications are designed to alter.
Oh, yeah.
The balance. And so, at least from my observation anyway, a lot of medications designed to treat, you know, emotional issues such as clinical depression are designed to suppress that particular chemical that's causing the depression. So you're absolutely right. If it's suppressing that, then how can you honestly analyze it?
I see your point. And yeah, I think a lot of times we don't realize the ability that antidepressants have. And I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you, you know, a true story. You know, I have a lot of psychiatry friends, psychiatrics. I have friends that run psychiatric hospitals. So I know a lot of people that prescribes drugs. Okay. That's all I'm saying right now. And, I was in a meeting with one, I guess it was a couple years ago, and I was complaining about PMS issues, you know, one of those women things that we all complain about.
Aunt Flo came to visit.
And he was saying, you know, hey, you should try this, you know, it's a simple it's used for depression, But you should try it because it might help, you know, alleviate some of your symptoms, your pain. It has been seen to do that. It's not something that it's not on the bottle. This is a, you know, this is an extra side thing. And I do want everybody to be aware. Be careful when that is being said, because you have to really realize there are side effects from everything.
Absolutely.
And this was a few years ago, and I tried one pill the first day, and then I tried one pill the second day, and I actually could feel my brain, and I could feel like the chemicals in my brain's changing.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of not good, because I went from being, there were certain things that went away because I was too busy thinking about how stressed out I was. Like, I went from being like, you know, moderately time of the month stressed out to all of a sudden kind of like irritated, a little like jittery, obviously irritated.
You went to Godzilla.
And I was kind of like, this is insane. And it really, I stopped taking it after that second day, and it probably did take another month for my brain chemistry to go back to normal. And what I'm saying is that a lot of times people take pills because we think it's going to help. But that's why it takes, for most people, it takes 2 to 3 weeks for a pill to kick in. For people that are more sensitive, and I know that our listeners who are sensitive know that you could take a pill one time and it can be overwhelming, and you know that that's not for you. And, you know, with a lot of antidepressant medication, there's a thing called serotonin uptake.
I've heard of that.
And
yeah.
It changes, it actually, it increases your serotonin level, and there's certain ones that actually increase your dopamine levels. And, you know, that's another thing is that, you know, illegal drugs, for example, cocaine is one of the things that actually, it actually gives you a surge of dopamine when you do cocaine. However, on the flip-flop, as you're coming down, your dopamine levels are actually, they've spiked all the way up, and they're actually spiked all the way down, and they're at the lowest level they can possibly be at. Hence why anybody that's ever done illegal drugs knows that the next day you feel like crap. And, you know, being in the career and what I do for a living, I have clients that, you know, you can tell. I mean, they were probably on the phone calling everybody they knew that morning to try to have somebody on the line that was a warm body.
Yeah.
And I've been that person on the line where somebody calls me and it's in the morning time and I'm getting ready for work. And I'm like, are you okay? And they're like, oh, God, you know. And I'll be like, I can't talk to you the whole time, but you know what I can do? I can keep you on the phone, and while I take a shower, you can just keep on talking. I'm here. I might need to run to the restroom.
They can listen to you. Shower.
Yeah, I go. I might need to go to the bathroom, and I might actually need to dry my hair while we're on the phone. But I am here, and that just puts it in perspective of when you have a low dopamine level like that, you feel like there's nobody there for you.
Wow.
You feel so lonely. Okay, and that's what I'm saying is that the more chemicals we put in our bloodstream, the more chemicals we put into our body, the problems we have.
Well, right? And Ashley, can I make this real quick point? I don't want to, you know, denigrate people who have legitimate medical issues that legitimately need, you know, medicine.
Well, let me say something real quick too, is that a lot of times these medications are only designed to be used for 6 months. Okay, so let's not.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let's not.
It says it there on the prescription, you know?
Well, yeah, because you don't want to, for the most part, people do not need to take a medication longer than 6 months. The other reason is that the effectiveness goes away.
Because your body builds a tolerance.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's why people, if they've been on a long time on antidepressant medication, it stops working.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work as well, or it begins to have interesting side effects. Because the body eventually tries to figure out how to overcome it. I mean, there's like Adderall is a good example of a drug that can help somebody maybe in the beginning with attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyper disorder. But unfortunately, over time, it's going to stop working its effectiveness. It's going to take more pills to be effective, as well as it's going to cause a lot of side effects that are going to be amplified over time. So in the beginning, the anxiety, the weight loss, the general anger of the come down gets worse and worse and worse over time, because your body's built up this tolerance, as well as you have all this in your system.
Right.
I mean, it's not new. It's just,
well,
you got so much.
And that's kind of the point I was going to make there, Ashley. I mean, you know, again, for those of you listeners out there, you know, who have gone to like a medical doctor, okay, like let's say a psychiatrist, and they've prescribed medication. Okay, you know, not trying to say there's anything wrong with that. I personally think, though, that in our society, we over-medicate ourselves. Okay.
Well, yeah.
And kind of to your point is that, you know, and the reasons why, I mean, that's out of the scope of our discussion today. I mean, I could get into the whole, you know, healthcare, you know, debate, you know, with anybody, but you know, we'll save that topic for another day. I think the point being, though, is that if we over-medicate ourselves, then it's difficult to be honest with yourself, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Anytime we put chemicals in our body, and this also applies to alcohol. Okay, let's not
the legal drugs.
Yeah, let's not leave out the legal drugs. Alcohol is a big one too. I mean, I don't know about anybody listening.
Self medication,
but I'm sure that there's been times where I've drank more than I should, and probably you too. And we drink more than we should, and we get a little emotional. Maybe we get a little angry.
Yeah.
Maybe we start a fight.
Uh huh.
Or we have a relative or a spouse that does the same thing, and they're looking at you going, you're the one with the problem, and you're over there like, well, you're the one with the six beers or five mixed drinks.
Or the other reaction, you get just like really silly.
Oh, yeah, well, the silly's fun, but, yeah. You know, I mean.
And this is, and of course, in recent current events, you know, this might be appropriate, especially with women, where you get really friendly. Like really friendly, you know, when you have you know, too much to drink,
getting really friendly in
yes.
the house,
and then all of a sudden the next day,
freaky,
all of a sudden the next day, you know, you kind of regret what happened.
Oh, I can't believe I slept with so and so after only knowing them for 1 hour on Tinder. Yeah, it's probably not a good deal. I mean, I agree with you. There's a lot of things that happen when we let our inhibitions down. Sometimes it can be good things, and sometimes it might not be.
Right,
but again. If you wouldn't have had all those drinks, would you still be sleeping with them? And I think that's the key. And a lot of times we don't realize how these drugs can get in the way of us analyzing our true feelings. What's really important to us? How do we really feel? We've all had that alcohol goggle scenario where it's like you're wearing, you know, drunk goggles and you're looking at somebody going, they are so hot, you know, and the next thing you know, the next time you see them when you're sober, you're like, oh my God, was that the same person?
Right.
Are you sure? No, you got to be joking, you know, and I think a lot of times we have to realize that we're not being honest with ourselves. So stay tuned. We're returning to talking more about how we're actually living our life and how to do what's right instead of hurting ourselves. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about what it means to truly be healthy. And you know, healthy to me is being honest with yourself, eating authentic lifestyle, truly happy you. And you know, the beginning of being healthy is being honest. Honest with yourself, honest about your feelings, honest about your emotions, where you're coming from, why you feel that way. When we're able to understand why we do what we do, why we feel the way we do, we are able to make better decisions. If I'm making blanket decisions based on something that I think might be right, or I think it might come from left field, or I don't know, I might be happy, I might not be. It's almost like it's that discussion that you have with your spouse or your other half where, well, what do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. What do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Can you not make up your mind? Well, I don't know why you're getting all over my butt about this. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. We've all had that discussion. But what if you're doing that with your own emotions? And a lot of times we're playing that game with ourselves. We don't even realize that, you know, maybe we are unhappy. Or maybe better yet, we are happy. But we're trying to hold on to a certain feeling. We're trying to feel a certain thing because we think it's the right thing to do. Life shouldn't be happy. You know, everybody that's ever told me in my life said that you have to scrape and scratch for everything you get. And even then, you're going to be unhappy. And I mean, I have a little bit of that in my family, too, is I have family members that believe that, and they tell me that all the time. And it's hard to sit there and be happy sometimes because you go, well, maybe I'm supposed to be scraping and scratching. You know what I mean? Or I know I'm scraping and scratching, but am I supposed to be upset about it? Maybe I should be madder about it. Maybe I should be angry about it. You know what I'm saying? I
mean, you're just too darn happy.
I don't know. But sometimes, you know, it is what it is. But think about it. How are you living your life? I mean, I think one of the key things about living our life is that there's nobody that's going to be at the end of the deal. Like, think about it. When the time comes and everybody at some point has to pass, has to die.
True.
Okay. That's not scary. It is what it is. Okay.
Death is a part of life.
It's a part of the cycle. But I don't think at that end point, when we go to the next level, I don't think that there's a person standing on the other side going, well, you know what, Bill? There were some things that you did that I thought was awful.
You mean there's not a gatekeeper at the pearly gates, you know, with the, you know, book.
Wait,
it's like, okay.
The clipboard.
You know? Yeah, the clipboard. There you go.
Okay, so we got Bill Barnett here. Okay, let's look at this. And also on the same flip side, there's not going to be anybody over there going, well, Bill, you know, it was good that you didn't allow yourself that in life. That was good that you kept yourself from having the happiness. That was good that you didn't do this. It was good that you wouldn't allow yourself to experience that. I think a lot of times we put all these regulations on ourselves where, oh my God, I got to live up to this. And a lot of times these regulations, I think, are more about who you live with or what your situation is. But nobody's going to give you a Medal of Honor. Okay, let me be honest with you. Nobody's going to sit there and go, you know what, Bill, you're the Medal of Honor for never allowing yourself to be happy. Here's a Medal of Honor for never having any fun. And here's a Medal of Honor, you know, for never breaking the rules. It's never going to happen. You know what's going to happen, right, is you're going to leave this earth and go, man, crap. There's all kinds of stuff I wanted to do. And I sat back and said, I can't do that because it's against my values.
I didn't get to my bucket list.
Right? I mean, it's very totally like, you know, I mean, you know, hey, nobody up there is going to be like, dude, you checked out that girl's butt when she walked by and that was a bad thing. You know what I mean? You're like, well, you know, it just happens. It is what it is. It's my life. Had I put a blinders on and not looked at anything, then I'd be pretty sad about it. But there's certain times, you know, maybe you just got to try it on. You know, maybe you just don't window shop anymore. I don't know. But it's all about being honest of how our life is. If you're happy with the most of your life, and I think for the most part, most of us are, but some of us aren't living true to ourselves. We're not living honest. We're living a lie. And the first thing that comes to mind when I think of living a lie, and I think for the most part comes to mind for most people listening right now, is if you're lying about your sexuality, if you're lying about who you are, if you feel like you have to go out on a daily basis and you can't be yourself, even if it's about your sexuality or even if it's just about yourself. But the point is that if you have to go and lie because you are too scared to be yourself, if you're a woman and you're really a lesbian, if you're a man and you're really gay, and you're living a lie, I mean, that to me is a crime against you as a human. It's like you're not even allowed to live. Like, that's not, I mean, I don't think you can change things like that. I don't think you can sit there and say, well, I'm really not gay, and this is just a phase I'm going through. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I know people that believe that.
Or I'm just confused, you know? Or
I know people that believe that, yeah, the phase thing. But, I mean, to me, it's like if you're not doing illicit drugs, you're not out doing MDMA and X all the time, you could probably figure out if you're gay or straight, okay? I mean, the other way, if you're doing those other drugs, you might be all over the fence, okay?
Right. You don't even know what you think.
You like it all, okay? Crazy. Yeah, you like it all. But no, I'm talking about if you really know in your heart of hearts that something's not right and you think it's that, you've got to check it out. You've got to be honest with yourself. I mean, the last thing I want to do is to go through life lying. Lying to myself, lying to everybody else. And the biggest thing is lying to myself. I mean, the other people come second. Because you can't sit there and say, hey, self, I'm sorry we didn't live a life this time. I'm sorry that we went around doing what we thought everybody else needed to do. I have a friend of mine that years ago, I was living down in Miami at the time. And he came down to visit me and my boyfriend at the time. And he was taking us on a cruise. And he had gone down there for a medical convention or what have you. And he was married, two children. You know, the fairy tale.
Okay.
And, you know, major doctor and his wife, stay-at-home mom with two kids, a boy and a girl, and everything's just perfect.
Mansion.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Quite a mansion, yeah.
Housekeeper. Yeah.
Quite a mansion. Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is how the other half lived. So he comes down to take us on a trip, and I hadn't been on a vacation in years, and so we were going on a cruise. And I remember the night before, we were hanging out and having a good time, and then that next morning, we all get on the cruise together. And I remember looking around, And there were all these women congregating. And I looked around. And I see all these men congregating at various doors of various cabins. And so he was like, well, hey, I'm on the top floor. Sorry, I didn't pay for you to have a balcony. But I got y'all a room. I think it has a picture window. And I'm like, well, at least it's not like a portal. You know what I mean? At least it's a little bigger.
It's not a broom closet.
No, it's not a broom closet. It was a floor up from the broom closet.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we go down on the elevator to our room. And, you know, we're putting our stuff up and everything. And then we were meeting him up on, like, the leeward deck or whatever to have some bites to eat. And it was funny because I remember walking up there and I saw all these women congregating, all these men congregating. And I'm just thinking, man, this is funny how there's a lot of same sexes just all congregating, which I thought was hilarious. And then I saw, like, this little old lady and then probably a friend of hers and then probably the mother of the older lady and then the daughter. And I was like, that's interesting. But then I realized that everything seemed just a little different. And I looked at my friend and I went, okay, I'm pretty astute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to know, am I on the gay cruise? Am I on a gay cruise of any sort? And he's
funny.
Like, you are. He goes, I got tickets for the gay cruise. And
wow.
I was like, so we're on the gay cruise. And I was like, I heard about this on the news. Like, we're not allowed to go to the Cayman Islands because the Caymans won't allow gay people in there. This was years ago. And he's like, how did you know that? I go, this made all the news, man. I mean, like, so where are we going? The Bahamas instead? And he's like, we are. We're going to the Bahamas. So ends up being the coldest time. I can't believe how cold it was. It was so miserably cold. And so the next day, me and my boyfriend are outside in the hot tub with a couple from Jersey that didn't know that they were signing up for the gay cruise.
They're the same boat you are.
And they were telling us the whole time about how they didn't know it was the gay cruise. And then across the way was another hot tub with like 12 gay men in it. And my friend was right in the middle. So we had a come to Jesus conversation that night. And I said, so are you gay? And he's like, yes. And I need to end my marriage. I got to figure out how to deal with this because I can't keep living this lie.
Right.
And I remember thinking, this is wild. I mean, like, are you sure you want to, you know, you're going to ruin all this? And after it all happened and he like, you know, it was a big dramatic event.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Even a toilet overflowed at the restaurant he broke up with her at.
Oh,
and
man.
He was running out of the toilet with the toilet tissue hooked on the bottom of the left shoe and the water's like flowing out from the back. Anyway.
What a nightmare.
And it all happened. It wasn't meant to happen there.
Yeah.
But something she said just pushed him over the edge, and that's what happened. But, you know, I look at him now and I realize that even though it took pain and agony to get there, it was the right thing to do. I mean, you know, because would he have ever been really honestly true with her? And also, he was never being honest with himself.
Well, and it kind of circles back to your original premise for the show tonight. It had to have affected his health to live that lie.
Oh, yeah. Like, you're literally lying every single day.
Yeah.
About everything. I mean, that's the basis of who you are, is what you love or what you feel. And if you're suppressing your feelings all the time, that's not good.
No, it's not.
I mean, people die from that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And he does now. He recently, you know, like, I guess it was the year before that, he got diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other complications that he's had. And he's a very healthy eater and everything. But I think a lot of it goes back to stress. It goes back to the fact that he was holding in all those feelings for so long. And I mean, you know, and he told me, he's like, you know, I felt this way since college, since before that. But I thought, there's no way this can be right. There's no way. I mean, why would I have to be gay? You know, why would this happen to me? And I think this applies to more things than just being gay. I really do. I think it applies to just being honest with yourself. Am I being honest with me? Am I living the lifestyle that I want to live? Am I happy with the people in my household? Or am I just doing that because I think it's the right thing to do? Am I just doing it because it's the easy thing to do? Am I just doing it because I am needy and I need these people for whatever reason, shape, and form? And I think that this is important questions to ask about your life. Because if you feel like you are trapped, are you trapping yourself? Or do you feel that other people in your life are trapping you? And I think, honestly, we all trap ourselves and we create... we create different obstacles in our life, and these people in our life could be the obstacles that we've created to stump ourselves, to keep ourselves in a particular situation. But they are not the ones that really put us in that position. We did. He had to ask her to marry him. Okay? He had to go through
True.
With the marriage.
Right.
Okay? It wasn't like she, you know, one day he was jogging in the neighborhood, and she was in a white unmarked van, and she cruises up with three guys, and they pull him into the van and put a bag over his head and make him get married. That wasn't the way it happened.
No,
no. he asked her, and they went through the whole thing, and they ended up having kids together. It was his choice. Now, I can see how she would be very upset, which she was, after all that comes to light, being that she
sounds like you could have told me before, yeah.
Well, she was dragged into a lie.
Sure.
I mean,
it was his lie.
It was his lie, not hers. Right. She had no idea. You know, the other people could say, or did she? Subconsciously, do we all know what we get ourselves into? I don't know. That's another case for another point in case, but I can see logically how she would be offended and sad about what was the rest of my life about. Has this been a lie the whole time?
Right.
When we return, we're going to be talking more about how to be honest with yourself and how to understand what healthy and honest really means. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about what healthy means, and part of healthy is being honest with yourself. You know, being honest with your own feelings and your own emotions and understanding where they're coming from. You know, being able to be honest about your lifestyle. Are you happy with it? Are you content? On the other side, are you not content? Are you unhappy? Do you feel like things are actually missing from your life that you would like to see? Do you feel like you've pigeonholed yourself into a life that unfortunately you don't want to live? Do you feel like you've lied to yourself? Do you think like you're lying to others based on the fact that you don't want to deal with you as a person, who you truly are? And I think when we understand whether we're in alignment or not in alignment, our intuitive, our intuition, our gut helps us realize when we are having a feeling of openness or expansion, inner joy or freedom, which are all good signs that we're on the right path, right? Those are good signs. But on the opposite, if you're not being true to yourself, right, it may show up in feelings of tension, uneasy, disconnect, feeling empty, feeling a lack of fulfillment, unhappiness, feeling like, bleh, you know? And I think sometimes it's hard to put a word on things sometimes, and I think a lot of times we sit there, if somebody asks you what's wrong, and you go, I don't know. And, you know, my response as a therapist is like, well, what do you not know? Let's figure this out. Most people go, what do you mean? They go, I just don't know. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been that great of a year. You know, I've had a lot of stress at work. I got this going on. But really, there's a reason, there's a cause for every effect. Okay, there's a reason for every feeling and emotion you have. And in order to understand where they're coming from, we have to get to the source. Okay, we're not talking about the side effects. We're not talking about, well, I have a little bit of chills or aching and pain in this right arm over here. No, we're talking about where is the source? Where is the actual pain coming from? Because it's like, for example, if you're having numbness in your fingers, guess what? We probably have a spinal issue. Okay, it's not just that the fingers are normally just numb, unless there is actually one specific disease. It's Raynaud's disease, and that's actually something that actually causes your fingers to go numb, but they actually go back to normal. And that's actually, it's something that actually is kind of a fluke sometimes, as well as it's also caused by cigarette smoking too, as well. But most of the time when people's fingers are going numb, it has to do something with their spine. Either they're having something wrong with a nerve that's been actually severed, or there's some pain or something involved with the nerve, or there's been, previous spinal surgery. And in that sense, the same thing in that technique is the basis of our feelings. And so the reason why being honest with our feelings, being honest with our childhood issues, being honest with if we're happy, being honest if we're sad, being honest with our sexuality, being honest with who we are, the reason why it's so important is because how we feel directly affects us. Being honest directly affects us. If I'm not honest, I'm going to get stress. I'm going to start feeling stress. I might have a panic attack. These panic attacks could continue. These panic attacks are going to move into something else. Maybe I end up having heart disease. Maybe I get cancer. There's all formulations. I'm not saying that cancer and heart disease always comes from stress, but that is a component. Sometimes it does directly come from stress. And so if I'm stressed out because I'm not being myself, or I'm stressed out because I'm not being honest with myself, That's directly affecting my health in every way, shape, and form. I am now unhealthy based on the fact that I am not being honest. On the flip side, if I'm being honest about what I want in my life, and I'm truly selecting and picking and choosing and realizing when I am unhappy and I make choices, I've made the choice because of this. And I know everybody listening tonight would have to agree with me that, you know, marriage can be a wonderful thing. Marriage can be a difficult thing. Living with somebody can be a wonderful thing. Living with something can be a difficult thing. Just realize being single can be a wonderful thing, and single can be a difficult thing. But in these situations, we have to figure out what makes us happy. What makes us true to ourselves? When am I being honest and when am I not? So I think when we realize that our honesty helps everybody, even though in the meantime, honesty, maybe for a year or two, if you're being honest with someone that you've been in a relationship with, it can maybe hurt them. But in the long run, by being honest, you're helping them because you're not taking them down a dishonest path. You're not lying. You're not putting them in a lie. And on top of that, you're allowing them to live their life on a truthful mission, not based on a lie that you've created. And I think we all know people that have gone through that. And I talked about that earlier in this show, is about, you know, living that lie and bringing other people into it. And, you know, when you actually say, hey, I'm putting the light on a situation that needs to be illuminated, it can hurt in the very beginning, but it can save everything.
Yep, and, you know, again, it's your long-term health that's the goal here. And even if you have to go through a little bit of short-term pain to get there, in the long term, it's all worth it.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. So let's talk about eating. I think that we're being honest with ourselves. Everybody listening tonight has become honest with themselves, or at least you realize the avenues and the aspects of things that you might need to shed some more light on. Maybe, you know, it could help you by journaling. I'd like you to maybe get a journal. Start writing down your feelings, writing down your emotions, writing down the things that you're not always that happy about. Keeping a diary or a book of some sort next to your bed so that you can record some of your dreams. Our dreams are gateways into our subconscious, okay? If you want to know why you're upset about something, get your dreams analyzed. I'm a great person to analyze dreams. I'm very good at it. It's something I do in my practice, and I do it to myself. And it's something that really illuminates a lot of things for me about how I'm really feeling and where my stress is coming from, as well as maybe looking into doing some meditation. And meditation could be necessarily just walking around your block for an hour. Okay, that could be meditation for you. Looking at various leaves, picking up rocks, that could be meditation. Meditation could be more of a sitting meditation with a breathing exercise for you too. But being able to put your life in a way that you can consciously see it is what's important. So let's talk about what we eat. Healthy means that you're eating. And when we're healthy...
Generally speaking, you're healthier when you eat than when you don't eat.
When you don't eat. It's just, yes, like sleeping, you know, but there's no S in healthy, so I didn't put sleep, okay, but that's part of life. That's part of life. That's part of the lifestyle. We'll talk about that later, because that's, you know what, that's under lifestyle, but we're not going there right now. We're talking about eating, and eating healthy is a unique thing for all of us. There is no preset diet. Okay, don't buy into those touting those books and the this and this and all
the
crap.
The fad diets.
Oh, yeah, don't buy into it. It's a scam. They want to make money off you. It's a scam. I'm just letting you know. Don't buy into it. But what you can buy into is realizing that you are unique and you're different and there is no one size fits all. Okay, I know, because I've tried the one size fits all tank tops and they don't fit. They're either too small and they make me look like I'm preggo, or they're too big and I'm showing too much, and I'm probably asked to leave. You need to leave.
And you're falling out of them.
I don't wear those out in public. I know better. No, but the thing is that one size doesn't fit all, and one diet doesn't fit everybody either. And so on tonight, we're going to understand the basis of what you should eat, the basis of what to eat, and the basis of what to avoid eating. Because just as much as there's a level of what you should eat, there's a level of what you should avoid. And we're going to also talk about how you can begin incorporating a lot of these assets and a lot of these factors tonight, so you can understand this. This isn't one of those things that you buy the book and you read the 300 pages and you wait it out for 2 months to read the 300 pages and at the end you go, yeah, okay, I don't know about that.
Right.
This is a quick and easy deal. This is all you're doing is you're taking the pill. I don't know if it's the blue or the red pill, but you've already agreed to the one that's going to take you down the rabbit hole, and we're going to go with that one, okay? So let's just say you took the translucent pill. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about health. What should you eat? What should everybody eat?
How about, because when I leave the studio tonight, I'm going to go grab a nice, big, juicy, double greasy hamburger with double layer processed American cheese. How's that? Ashley has a headache now.
Oh my God. I just had my hand in my head in my hands. I was like about to give myself a nice head massage here. A nice.
It's like I actually need some Advil now.
Seriously. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm going to give myself my own neck massage is coming now. Okay. No, do not do what Bill just said. Okay.
No,
we're talking about
greasy hamburgers.
That goes under what to avoid. Okay, so he's already gone ahead of us, actually. So let's go back to what we should eat first, because I like to go with the positives before we go with the not-so-positives. Okay, the first thing is what to eat. What is that? Vegetables. Greens of all kinds is the basis of a perfect health. So we sit there and we talk about health, and everybody goes, well, it's just so, I don't know. I mean, it's just such a gray area. Well, it's really not. It's really not. When I was a kid, I used to never eat vegetables. And you know why? Because my parents never gave me any, for the most part. My mom was against most vegetables. The only vegetables we ever ate were baked potatoes. And that's kind of a questionable because it's not green. And the other one was asparagus. And the only time I got asparagus was when my mom would make steaks on the grill with baked potato with a bunch of sour cream and butter all piled on there. And that's what we had for dinner.
Excuse me, I'm getting hungry. I'm going to leave now.
And I used to think that was the poster of health. Yeah. And then years go by, and I don't feel that good. And I'm not feeling that good. And I feel like I should have more energy. I feel like things should be a different way, but I don't get it. And when I finally go to college, I start researching all different types of like meals and nutrition and what people eat. And I realize that most people on this planet don't eat steak. They don't eat red meat. Okay, there's a reason for that. You know, my dog has different teeth than I do. they eat carnivorous. They're carnivorous eaters. They eat meat. Our teeth were not made to really digest certain types of meat. Hence why a lot of people choke on steak when they're eating it. However, vegetables is the part counterpart to what we have to have. And I'm not totally raking on the steak market. We'll talk about that later. But I am saying that the basis of health in the eating process is vegetables. And vegetables, and I'm talking about, you don't want to take hollandaise sauce and drench them in it. I know that in the beginning, it might take you to add some ranch or something to flavorize this. Because in the beginning, sometimes you just don't want to eat vegetables. I mean, sometimes you would have to agree, like back in the day, I didn't like Brussels sprouts. My mom didn't even make Brussels sprouts when I was a kid because she didn't like Brussels sprouts, okay? But I realized that vegetables are our friends, and I didn't like broccoli either. And I used to think I always got gas every time I ate broccoli, but I just realized I was unhealthy. And so when you begin eating vegetables, even if you have to use, let's say, like a little cider ranch, okay? That's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to sit there and say it has to be plain. It has to be steamed, just like I eat it, plain and steamed and no salt. I'm saying you need to just add what you can to start getting those greens in your system. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking about more about what you need to be eating to have a healthy lifestyle, what to avoid, and what to incorporate tonight. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about what it means to actually be healthy. What does it mean to be healthy? How can you be healthy? And what can you do right now to be healthier right now after listening to this show? And right before the break, we began talking about what you want to start eating in your diet. And the first thing is about greens of all kinds, vegetables. Vegetables are the basis of our health. And in order to be healthier and to be healthy, you got to eat vegetables. I used to think that there's a way around this, but I figured out there's not anymore, okay? I figured it out. I've tried all the different paths. I've tried it all, but I've realized that vegetables are our friends. And even if you have to begin eating these greens with a little bit of a dipping sauce of ranch or something on the side, that's okay. That's okay. I'm not trying to make you Sister Mary Margaret right now. I particularly eat my vegetables steamed with nothing on them because I don't want salt in my diet and I don't like to have excess fat, but I got used to it. And it took me a while to get to that point where I actually like the taste of vegetables. And eventually you'll get there. Eventually you'll love to drink green juice, but you gotta push it. You gotta make it happen. You gotta try it. okay? Just like anything in life. I mean, like, I used to love, like, the taste of shakes, and now when I go get a shake, it tastes just, like, total fake. Like birthday cake. Oh, my gosh. It's like you got that stuff stuck on the top of your,
especially the mouth. The kind they make at the supermarket, you know, the pre-processed stuff.
All that stuff's bad for you.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I try it, but it's bad for you. It really is.
It really is. It's pure processed sugar.
And that stuff's not good for you.
No, it's not.
Mostly anything that's been really processed isn't good for you. You know, that's the thing, is that vegetables isn't processed. It actually grows. And that is a good rule of thumb, is that the things that you should eat should not ever be processed. Okay? And so you know what that means? Breads, processed. Sugars, processed. Cookies, processed. Cereal, processed. The things that aren't processed, and I don't really know, I don't agree with meat, but meat is not processed as long as it's organic and natural. Chicken, all the types of protein, okay? And that's key, because and also vegetables and fruits are not processed foods. And that's kind of the mandatory of healthy, is by sticking with things that are not, man was not a part of. Okay, because I hate to say it, but a lot of times when humans get involved, we screw it up. Okay, we're good at that.
Yeah,
we're great at it. You know?
But our hand in it and just ruins it.
It's like you tainted the whole darn thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, but we do.
So humans are no better than cockroaches. Is that what you're trying to say?
You know, never said that.
Because whatever we get into, we just ruin.
We do, and we live for a long time.
Yes, and after the nuclear winter, it'll be us and cockroaches. You know.
I mean, cockroaches, they're kind of cute if you look at them, you know.
Oh, yeah, gross.
Just kidding. Yeah, cockroaches. Anyway, but God bless them. They are part of society. Anyway, but yeah, vegetables, basis. One, use vegetables. Eat vegetables. Greens, cauliflowers, broccolis, all that kind of stuff is good. Mushrooms, they're good too. Next is fruits. Fruits are good in moderation and can be eaten because they have fiber, which is good for you. Or they can be juiced. And in both situations, they're good for you. I mean, like an overintake of fruit, you have to realize that fruits do have sugar. It's a natural sugar. It's not processed.
So it's not a processed sugar. That's the important key right there.
That's key. But you still don't want to go too much, because you have to think about various levels within your body.
So actually, define moderation.
Define moderation. Well, okay. I would have to say that when you're dealing with fruit, I mean, unless, if you're juicing it, I would say no more than 16 ounces of a fruit juice, and I would contain green apples. I would do organic Granny Smith, probably coupled with a vegetable of maybe, you could use anything from Swiss chard to kale, and you can add lemons and what have you in that juice, but you don't want to just have just fruit juice, because there's a lot of sugar in that, and so that'll spike your sugar level up, okay, and that can cause you to get like that zing that I like, but eventually you're going to crash. And so if you add a vegetable to that juice, you're going to feel a lot better. On the flip side, if you're just eating the fruit by itself, an apple a day, there's a saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And that actually has a lot of logic and truth to it. One apple a day, maybe one banana, maybe one apple, and maybe one another type of fruit. But just don't go crazy on it, realizing there's a lot of sugar in fruit. But it's good for you, and you want to have some every day. And it also helps with fiber. If you're eating it a certain way and you're taking care of your body, it helps with fiber, and that's a good thing. The next thing you want to do is I don't eat meat. I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork. But I know that some people listening tonight say, hey, I eat meat, I eat pork. And that's fine. My issue with that is that it doesn't feel good to me. It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't help my body. It's a very hard to digest. And the problem is that meat actually rots in your gut, okay? And that's the thing. Unless you are drinking half your body weight as far as ounces in water every day, and working out, and cleaning your system, and taking maybe a detox cleanse, you're going to have rotting meat in your gut, and that's just the way it is. And so I prefer not to have that in my system. Also, the other reason why I don't choose to eat it is just because I'm big on meditation, and when animals are slaughtered certain ways, it's not good or beneficial for your meditation, because you're kind of intaking the pain and the scared and the stress that animal had when it was being killed. Which is so sad. You're actually ingesting that as you eat that, and so it takes you even farther away from being able to be one with consciousness. However, if you do eat meat, have lean protein. You want to get it, and you want to have it lean. And red meat really should be limited to once a week. I mean, honestly, I'm just being honest with you. Once a week is really the limitation on that. I don't eat any of it. It's been almost 5 years as far as that's concerned. But if you're going to do it once a week. And realize, however, though, that that is not the only protein out there. Beef is not the only protein out there. You can get your protein from chicken. You can get your protein from fish. Seafood has protein. Do you know that whey protein? They have protein that comes, you know, that you can actually drink in a shake.
Like the energy shakes.
Right. Yeah, rice. Yeah, yeah. There's rice. There's all kinds of different proteins.
Beans.
Beans have protein. Yes. Lentils have protein. And those are things that are important. However, I do want to stress one thing. I know that soy products have been making this rise in our country, and I get it. But for men, don't eat soy products. Okay? Straight up.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
You never? Well, yeah, because they don't really talk about it a lot. Soy is one of the cheapest items that you can buy. It's one of the cheapest. It was used in wartime, especially during the Vietnam War and in the past, and it was something that was given to a lot of people to eat. But the thing about soy is that it actually changes the levels of estrogen in your system.
Ah.
So a woman, if she eats it, needs to really minimize how much she's eating because it's going to raise your estrogen levels. For a man, you don't want any really estrogen levels, okay? You
right.
really need to be careful with this, and it has been shown to cause cancer in men.
Oh, okay. So, I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be really careful with that. So the soy milk, also think about edamame. That might be the only possible one that you might want to eat. But, like, when you're looking at these different types of soy products, you really want to be careful.
Well, so a thought just crossed my mind. Let's say a woman who's breastfeeding. Probably shouldn't be drinking soy milk or soy products.
No, not at all.
Because that'll pass it on to the infant.
Perfect, yes.
Okay.
You're right. You're so right on that.
Wow, yeah, okay.
You definitely don't want to be drinking soy milk. And I mean, you can have a little bit of it, okay? But for men, I would really say not to have any of it. I'm just going to go on and say that. I mean, that's why you see nowadays, even medication, even dietary vitamins say no soy when they're organic or they're vegan. No soy binders. There's a reason for that. Okay, I mean there's a reason because men shouldn't be eating it at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they don't really come out and tell you that, but they also sell these protein shakes, and it's soy protein. That's another thing. Okay. Really, you got, especially a woman too, your levels of estrogen are going to go up and down throughout the month. Especially each month, you're going to have this surge and then you're going to have this tank out. And the last thing you want to be doing is to raising and lowering this with some sort of outside product.
Or artificially.
Yeah, and you just got to be so careful. I mean, a minimal amount of soy is okay for a woman. For a man, I suggest none.
Well, that's interesting, Ashley, because I always thought they were promoting soy as almost a substitute for beef.
And they did that because it was
cheap. Soy burgers and soy milk and blah, blah, blah.
And it's cheap.
Well, okay.
And that's another reason why they did it. And you can feed a lot of people with it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, they do tout that and a lot of people buy into it. But everything that I've read recently in the last year and a half, it's not good. I mean, you just want to be very minimal as a woman, as a man. I just would say with all the situation as far as estrogen and what estrogen does into the body, I would just be very careful and probably avoid it. I mean, maybe if you had like an edamame once a month or something like that at a sushi restaurant, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. Maybe a little soy milk, if that's all they have for the coffee at the office, it's not going to kill you. But I just wouldn't go crazy on it. Also, think about how you can get your protein from all these different sources. And you know how back in the day, you know, the beef industry would just tout themselves as the only one that's it. Beef is protein. That's it.
Well, and you know me, I come from West Texas. And that's what, you know, the economy is based on. You know, I come from an area where literally there are more cows than people. you know, and you learn to grow up and accept certain smells.
Oh, God bless.
You know,
God bless.
It's just, you know, we joke about it in my hometown. You know, it's the smell of money.
Yeah. I was raised like that, too, and I understand, but I realize what is good to eat and what's not really good to eat. And, you know, an occasional steak once in a while, occasional steak once a week or something like that, or once a month or once every 2 weeks, I don't think it's going to hurt you or kill you. But for most people, the thing is that you can't really process that beef correctly, and so it does rot in the gut. And the other thing, too, is that for most people, it's too heavy to process, you know, and it doesn't help. It actually makes you sluggish. It makes you slow, and then sometimes people can actually get sick.
Yeah, and I think like you were saying too, you know, your level of exercising, you know, like you know, bodybuilders, you know, will eat a lot of red meat, you know, for the protein, you know, because they're, you know, they're packing on those, you know, that those huge muscles, right?
You know, lately, but, though, most of the bodybuilders lately are actually going vegan.
I've heard of that too.
Yeah, I mean, like people are making a big switch right now, and because I think they're thinking that the protein's cleaner, and also the problem is that the price of steak or certain proteins when it's natural or organic and it's been processed a certain way is a lot more expensive. And I think when you're trying to get to that body point, you know, I mean, when you're eating, when your meals are coming out at $50 each meal, that's expensive.
True.
You know, but yeah, sure. There's a lot of old school bodybuilders that still believe in that, you know, and I know some of them, and my body, my waist is as big as their head, you know,
right.
So I know some of them. So stay tuned. We return. We'll be talking more about the concept of how to get your protein and how to know when you're feeling good and when you're not feeling that good and when you're feeling bad. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about what it means to be truly and honestly healthy. And, you know, we've been talking about what it means to eat right. You know, the whole process of eating to be healthy. What does that mean? And right before the break, I was talking about how you can get your protein from various sources. It's not just from the meat industry. Don't buy into that. And I think most of us realize that by now. However, protein comes from various sources. We talked about chicken. We talked about poultry. We talked about seafood. We've also talked about even shakes and whey proteins and various proteins like that and other things to stay away from. But let's talk about how we begin to realize what makes us feel good when we eat it and what makes us feel bad. I think it's interesting because a lot of times none of us realize, well, when I was younger, I didn't realize, and I think most people listening went through this process too, where you would eat, but you wouldn't feel good after you ate, and it was enough time where you didn't really think about it, you know?
Right.
But then you would just feel like something else happened. I don't know what's wrong. You know, I must have some sort of, I must be sick. I must have got food poison, you know what I mean? But it wasn't really food poison. It was just that you're eating something you're not supposed to be eating. It doesn't work for your body.
And your body was reacting to it, yeah.
And it's saying, hey, I feel good, or hey, I feel real bad.
Yeah.
And I've gone through that whole concept. I would say a good symptom of eating bad is acid reflux. When you eat, and after you eat, you start to burp. And you burp, or you have that whole acid reflux where it's coming up your throat, and it's burning your throat, and you have the acid reflux.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign, okay? That's not saying, whatever you're eating is not working. Okay, I actually went out to dinner recently with this couple, and they're older. They were probably in their early 70s, and they wanted to eat at 5:30.
Okay.
Well, we need to sit down at 5:30 because my wife has a stomach problem, and she gets acid reflux if she eats after a certain time.
Okay.
So I'm running 10-15 minutes late.
In other words, you're normal.
I'm normal. I show up. I get in where I fit in, and it was about 5:45, and me and Greg cruise on over there, and we get there, and you can see the husband's upset. You know, he's got this, like, growl on his face, and you can see the wife's okay. But I realized that the wife had probably been beating down her husband for the last 15 minutes, you know, because I was her husband's friend, so I'm the one that's to blame because we're not there on time. And so, you know, yeah. Greg's first assumption is, man, he's a jerk. Well, my first assumption, and mostly a knowledgeable assumption, too, is, you know what? She's been beating him down for a while.
Right.
Because I know how women are. Uh-huh. I'm a woman, so I know your friend's going to be here late. I mean, it's 15 minutes after the time that I can eat. So we get there, and they have their own bottle of wine, and so they're doing their bottle of wine thing. So I realize, you know, where this is total Dutch. You know what I mean? You divide the table in half.
Sure.
Everything you do is your side. Everything they do is their side. So they had a bottle of white wine, quite sweet wine, actually. I got a drink, and I looked over there, and they had already ordered, okay? And
okay.
So the first item that comes out is fried for them, fried food. Strike one. And as they drink this really sweet wine, and then I ordered salmon with nothing on it, just plain, and broccoli, which is steamed. And hers came out, and it was like, you know, the really, it was, I think, the pork chop with the sauces on it.
Fried?
No, but it was smothered in sauce.
Okay.
And then I think there was some onion rings as well.
Which those are fried.
Yeah, those are fried. And then after I got done eating my entree, which came out after she was done eating, because they started earlier, she gets a piece of carrot cake that was the size of my head.
Oh,
and
man.
Proceeds to eat half of that with the caramel sauce and the chocolate sauces on the side and the dipping sauces.
It tastes good, but not good for you health-wise.
Well, I asked her, I said, how long have you been dealing with the acid reflux?
No kidding.
And she's like, what do you mean? I go, how long have you had it? She's like, oh, for 10 years. I mean, my whole life. And I go, so you have to eat at 5:30. So you're regimented that you have to stop your life if you're going to eat dinner and start at 5. Yes, I have to be done by 7. I go, is this how you normally eat? Yeah. If I ate like that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd be sick the whole rest of the day. And I told her, yeah. I said, I don't even know how you consume these foods. Like, I'm flabbergasted that we've all been made to be here at 5:30 on a Saturday, which is my only day off for a little while, and it's not anymore. But we're only there, and I have to eat at 5:30 because you're going to poison yourself with this food. Okay? Right. No wonder you get acid reflux. I'm surprised you're not dead in a ditch somewhere.
You know, Ashley, and of course, you know, what you're describing is generally considered, you know, southern or at least southwestern, you know, type food, a.k.a. the heart attack special.
Unbelievable.
And there's a reason why it's called the heart attack special.
Because you know? You get a heart attack.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, I could, like, you're describing she was eating, and it's like my arteries were hardening just listening to it, you know?
And she's like, I eat this all the time. And what's your problem?
And again, I'm originally from West Texas. I got to admit, I mean, you know, what you're describing, it tastes good. Mm-hmm. Oh, it tastes good. You know, I mean, boy, howdy. Get some ranch, you know, dressing on that stuff and, you know, some melted cheese. Man, you know, just go to town. But it is not good for you. You know, there's a reason why Texas is the most obese state in America. It's because of the food we eat.
That's interesting. I mean, I think California would probably rank higher than that, though. I think in California, that's the cool thing about California right now, is they're actually mandating that you put the calories on everything. So on the menu,
yeah.
You walk into a restaurant and the calories are on the menu.
So you can count them, yeah.
Totally different. I think it's interesting, though, when you see somebody see the calories and they still order the one with the most calories. Like, I was standing at the airport the other day, and there's like a McDonald's on one side and something else.
Sure.
And I went up there to get a coffee, and there's nothing else there to eat. And so I got just a bun with an egg, because I don't eat sausage or, you know what I
sure,
mean?
Sure, sure.
And they don't have, like, turkey or whatever. Anyway, so I got just the bun and the egg, right? On there. Okay, fine. So I'm ordering that, and I think that said 200 calories, right? And the lady in front of me goes, I'll take the, you know, the breakfast feast. And it's like, I think it said 2,400 calories. And I'll take a medium Coca-Cola with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, and can I get an order of fries? And I'm like, she just had 2 times the amount of calories I have in a day.
Right.
Okay, I normally do about 1,500 calories, 1,800 calories a day. She did like 3,200 in that one swoop. And I think it's interesting. Let's go back to that dinner. And at first, before I said any of that stuff, I said, have you tried, there's a thing called mastic gum, and it's from a plant, and it normally comes from a Greek-type nationalities where it's produced. And I said, this really helps, this really actually helps soothe your gut, and it actually can help with ulcers. It helps with ulcers, and it helps people to actually kind of, it actually helps to formulate to soothe the inside of the stomach to cover up those kind of those pockets and to actually alleviate any ulcers. And then all of a sudden I went, she doesn't need the mastic gum. She needs to quit eating like this.
Yeah.
And it kind of pissed me off, to be quite honest with you, because I don't like to eat at 5:30. I don't like to be rushed. I don't like to eat at 5:30. And I don't like to walk into a dinner where everybody's angry at me because I'm 15 minutes late. I mean, I was out of there by 7:10. You know what I mean? I'm just like, this is crazy.
Right.
But it was like she was eating completely antithetical to her health. Okay, so she has the acid reflux. She has all these side effects based on the fact that she's not eating well for herself. My next concept is no fried food. I like fried food just like everybody else does, okay? But you could fry a boot, and it'll taste okay. And that boot, you could have walked all around town with no socks on, and it still tastes okay. The thing is, no fried food. Just don't eat it. I mean, if you have to, like once every 2 months, have a bite of something that's fried, that's fine. But otherwise, don't eat it. It's not good for you. It will kill you.
You know, and this getting a little bit off topic, but somebody's got to explain to me one of these days why foods that taste good are bad for you and vice versa. You would think that foods that are healthy for you should be tasting good.
Well, it's because of our mindset. Well, it's because of what we're used to. I mean, because if we make judgment calls on broccoli and say broccoli sucks, my mom used to never make broccoli. Broccoli's going to taste like foul weed. This is going to be awful. And you taste it, you go, oh, foul weed, you know? But instead, if you taste broccoli, like the other day I was eating broccoli, it was the first time I actually felt like it was like the healthy fries. Like I was eating like twig by twig, and I was like, this isn't bad.
You know, I'm okay with broccoli when it's mixed with something, or if maybe if I have a dipping sauce, like you were explaining earlier. I don't like just straight, you know, steamed broccoli just all by itself. You know,
I've gotten used to it, but it takes a while to get used to it.
Yeah,
I mean, those things actually, they found out that broccoli actually prevents heart disease.
Oh, not arguing all the health benefits of broccoli. I mean,
and it helps against cancer, and it also helps against liver damage.
Yeah.
So if you have liver damage, and I know a lot of people that do, and a lot of my clients have been in here, whether it was something like, they got sick in a foreign country, they ended up taking a lot of Cipro or other antibiotics that really took the, you know, really ate up their liver and really screwed up their liver, and if they were still drinking, they have liver problems. And so there's like a combination of broccoli and turmeric that you can eat that'll actually regenerate part of that liver and those liver cells. And it's something that I particularly eat a lot just because I think it's good. And I just don't want to end up in the hospital with cancer.
Well,
quite honestly, I just don't want to do that. You know what I mean? And you know what? I think to a degree, we have a choice. I think if we take our health into our own hands and we begin to be healthy, we have a choice to at least limit the ability of getting sick. I mean, you know, I'm not saying you're not going to get a cold or a flu, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, if you're in an atmosphere where everybody's got the flu, you might get it.
Right.
But depending on how you're eating and how healthy you are, you might be down for 3 days or you could be down for 2 weeks. And that's what I'm talking about. We all have to deal with the environment, our environmental situation, the toxins in the environment. But what we can do is limit the toxins that we intake. And that's what's so important, is that we do have a choice. No fried food. And guess what? The next one for everybody listening, this one hurts me too. This one hurts me to the core. Try to limit all sugar. Refined sugars, eliminate them. They are a killer.
But it tastes so good.
It does. It makes me feel like crap. The last time I ate refined sugar, when we return, I'll talk about this. Last time I ate refined sugar, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I had blotches, red blotches, all over my face and hands. I looked like I had gotten into poison oak, and I had been nowhere near outside. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be talking more about sugars and how you can be healthy by eating right. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives. I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight's show, we've been talking about what it means to be truly and honestly healthy. We've been talking about what to eat, what is the basis of what you should eat, what you should avoid, and what you should begin incorporating right now. And right before the break, we began talking about the concept of what makes you feel ill versus what makes you feel good after you eat. And one thing that I know is not good is there's fried food is not good for you. So stop eating that, because it's going to make you feel ill, it's going to give a lot of people acid reflux, and it's not going to help your heart in the end. You know, but also sugar. We have to minimize the amount of refined sugar that we actually allow in our diet. Just recently, I ate a bunch of refined sugar, and I ate it in the form of candy corn, okay? And they have candy corn now for every season. Not just Halloween anymore. It's for every season. It's for every day of the week. And I was eating this candy corn, and I ate a lot, maybe 20 pieces.
That's just pure sugar, candy corn.
It is.
It's evil.
It's not good for you. And there I am eating it, and it's funny because, you know, my husband had bought it and brought it to the house, and I said, why? When I saw it, I go, thank you, but why? Why did you do this? And he's like, I was thinking about you. And I said, thank you, but don't buy that stuff for the house because I'm going to eat it. And he's like, but I was being nice. And I go, I know, but you're trying to kill me, okay? You're really trying to kill me.
Because that stuff just speaks to you.
Yes.
You can't ignore it.
It's like, Ashley, open the box.
I'm good, Ashley. Come eat me.
And you smell it, you're like, oh, it's like smelling cotton candy. It's addictive, okay?
Which, fortunately, I don't like cotton candy, never have.
Well, you're lucky. Okay, you're lucky. Yeah. I had two bags of that in my refrigerator from the state fair for like 6 months, and I managed to finish those off, by the way. But anyway, so there I am eating this stuff, and I'm eating like piece after piece after piece. I'm even giving the dog some, which is really bad.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, as bad as this for humans, it's sugar is always worse for animals.
I'm over there like giving out one
never,
for me.
That's why you never give animals people food.
It was like 3 for me, 1 for you. Yeah. 4 for me, 2 for you. So I go in the bathroom, and I've got blotches all over my face, all down my neck, and all over my hands. And I look like I had been in Poison Oak. I look like I had had a disease. I'm not kidding you, like a real disease. And I went, oh my God, look at me. I'm hideous. What the hell's happened to me? Well, you know what happened? Yeah, refined sugar happened. Okay. I walked in that kitchen and I looked at that box and I said, sorry, candy corn. And I threw the candy corn in the left bag, which is the trash, and I threw the dispenser in the right bag of this recycle bin. And I said, no more. And I slammed the door because I'm not going to be put down like that. I'm not going to deal with that anymore.
Quick tangent, Ashley. You know, it's a sign of how screwed up our public priorities are. The reason why people eat all these sugary foods is that they're cheap. And the reason they're cheap is because it's one of the most heavily subsidized industries in America. Sugar, the sugar industry is very heavily subsidized, whereas healthy organic food
is not,
and that's why it's organic food is more expensive.
It's
and
more expensive, yeah.
So
like
so,
the good stuff, like yeah. the good candies, the good quality foods.
So it should be just the opposite. You know, let's subsidize organic food, and to heck with sugar. You know, and if they go out of business, oh well.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's interesting how the people that own all these sugar and all these different companies have quite a bit of money.
Oh, and they have quite a bit of money, quite a bit of power too. Oh my gosh, they're almost as good as the gun lobby.
Wow,
and that's saying something.
Eat a bunch of sugar and buy some guns.
I'm telling you, you know, match made in heaven.
That's perfect. It sounds like fun. Let's go to the gun range with some sugar. Yeah, I mean, the next thing you want to think about is a probiotic. A daily probiotic on a daily basis is something good. It helps your gut. It helps with the flora in your body. It helps with the good bacteria. Okay, so we all have good bacteria in our body. We all have bad bacteria just because we eat crap most of the time. We also have bad bacteria just because of just dealing with disease, just dealing with, you know, overcoming colds, flus, what have you. But in order to combat that bad bacteria or not so good bacteria, we need to have good bacteria. And a probiotic is going to add to that good bacteria. As well as a probiotic is a good thing to take if you've had to take any sort of antibiotics based on some sort of illness, because you want to build back that good bacteria so your gut can fight off any problems. And I'll be honest with you really quick, a lot of disease starts in the gut. Okay? It's true. It's true. A lot of even normal type diseases that we don't think about, like even viral type things, can actually manifest in the gut.
Now, actually, real quickly for my benefit, what is a probiotic?
A probiotic is a pill that you take, preferably in the morning or at night, depends on the way you feel, and it helps to add good bacteria back into your gut. So it helps the flora, it helps add different strands of bacteria into your gut to actually minimize any sort of discomfort, minimize gas, minimize, you know, farting, gas, minimize reflux. Also, it minimizes any sort of different, disease that can sprout out, too, because when your gut has a bunch of bad bacteria in it, nothing good is going to come out of that. And that's why people have bad breath a lot, too. Even people that do a lot of work on breath, I'm a big proponent of brushing and flossing tongue flossing and tongue scraping and all that stuff. Even people, most of the people don't do all that, but even people that maybe floss and brush, if they have, you know, bad bacteria in their gut, you're going to smell it.
Right.
Okay? It's going to come up like, you know, like a drain that's not covered.
And you can get this in, like, the vitamin section at the grocery store or whatever.
Yeah. And the best probiotics are the ones that you want to get that are refrigerated. Okay? They need to be refrigerated because they have active strains of bacteria in them. Okay? They have to be active, meaning they have to be alive. Okay? Otherwise, if they're not alive, they don't work. You're just taking dead bacteria. I mean, like, that's not going to help you. So the thing is that that's the one thing that I don't get online, just because they have to ship it to you. And most of the people don't ship it on ice, and you don't know if it's been refrigerated prior.
I got you.
So you have to go to a reputable place. I prefer to go to Whole Foods just because, they have a refrigerated section. I know the people that stock the area, and I know that they stock it. They literally take it off the truck. It's cold, and they put it in the refrigerated section.
Stuff's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot.
It's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot. What's the deal with the little shopping carts they got? Yeah, so that's what I do, and I take mine actually at night before I go to bed. Some people take theirs in the morning. I like to take mine at night. It's just something I like to do. As well as taking supplements. You know, when to take them and what to take. And I want to do a specific show based on supplements alone because I think that there's so much material that needs to be covered. But supplements, because it can be a very tricky subject. It's tricky. Yeah, it's tricky because you know what? Some supplements for some people don't work for other people. Some supplements for some people make other people ill. Some people don't need as much iron, and men don't need to be taking any iron whatsoever at all, period. End of story. No iron. Men do not need to take iron. Women do. Men don't. So there's a lot of things that you have to really be careful about. A multivitamin, is that what you really want in there? Is there something in the combined additive that you might be allergic to? Also, just because you read that a pill helps with one thing doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. And the best thing to figure that out is if you're going to try it, you want to try it alone to make sure it doesn't activate with anything else, but to also see if it has any side effects or it causes you any pain. So I want to do a whole show on that, but when I take supplements, I take certain supplements in the morning and certain supplements at night. And I think a lot of times people avoid taking vitamins because what happened is when they first started taking vitamins in their life, they took them all in the morning before they ate, before anything, and they get upset stomach, or they get sour stomach, or they feel like crap all day because you've taken a bunch of vitamins and minerals. You got nothing in the stomach, nothing in your gut, and it's just burning a hole in your stomach.
Right. You got to take them with food.
Yeah, you got to take them with food. Some you don't, but some you do. And once you've gotten burned like that, sometimes people get really scared of supplements because, you know, they don't feel good. And if something doesn't make you feel good, you normally don't do it again.
What, are the Flintstones chewable vitamins still good?
They were never good. They were a good idea for our parents to feel good about what they were buying us. But it's almost like, you know, when you go to a dog store for your dog and you buy something that looks good for you.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're like, oh, look how cute that is. The dog doesn't, you know. It's the same with the vitamins. The parents are like, oh, they'll take that. Yeah, that's a vitamin, you know. Or like the gummy vitamins. No, don't fall for that. You go, if you're going to have gummy, go get a gummy bear and just get done with it. You know what I mean? I don't agree with that stuff too because that stuff will really back you up. But
yes,
anyway,
it will.
It'll back the train up, okay? And so will those vitamins. But yeah, you got to really think about it and do some investigation. I do a lot of research before I take any vitamin. I do research on the extent of any sort of side effects, what's in it, how is it bind? Was it binded with a certain way? Is it vegan binding? What is it? What's used in it? Shelf life, everything. And then I really think about what's the most important thing because you don't want to be taking vitamins on top of other vitamins. Just because you're taking a lot of vitamins doesn't mean it's right. And by the way, a one-a-day vitamin, that doesn't really work either. But there is a concentration of what you should be taking. And I will do a full show, a full perspective show on this because I think that we really need to talk about supplements, when to take them, what to take, what's good for you, and how much is good, and how to know if it's working or not. Because that's another thing, too, is that we can take all this stuff and spend all this money and go, well, don't know if it's really changing anything. And then sometimes you can see an immediate change where you feel like you got energy, you feel better. And sometimes you don't. You know, and some of the last subjects I want to cover, because the eating subject is so important. It's just, this is a big deal. I mean, this takes up a lot of being healthy. The way we eat and the way we feel by what we eat is something that logically creates us to be happy, creates us to feel bad, changes our whole mood. Think about it. When you don't eat well and you feel bad, you don't feel good. You're not happy. You're not feeling great. You're not, yeah, I'm up for anything. You're more like, dude, I'm going to go home and lay down.
Like,
I feel like
oh,
crap.
Oh, my stomach hurts. I just want to lay down. Ugh,
you might be having a reaction to something. You know, eating, too, is all about figuring out what can you not eat.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm allergic to sesame seeds, and I'm allergic to sesame oil. And I have a bad allergic reaction, and I know that I don't want to go to the hospital. Okay, I know that. And so I have to ask ahead of time when I'm at any restaurant, I particularly ask about, is there any sesame seeds or sesame oil used on anything? Is there any butter? Because I get sick on butter. I throw up butter. I can't process butter. Is there any butter on this? Could you please leave the salt off? Can you do all these things based on the fact that we need to have the dietary restrictions that we want? And these are all really important to our body. And you have to actually instruct, when you go to a restaurant, what is it that you can tolerate and what is it that you can't? Because the last thing you want to do is spend a lot of money at a restaurant eating a big meal and going home and feeling like crap. And I can't tell you how many times I felt like crap. And you know what? You might be thinking, no, I never felt that way. But start thinking about it. When was the last time you went to that fancy restaurant and ate that meal with all that butter and all that sauce and you went home and you went, oh, God. I mean, especially when it was a romantic dinner. I mean, for the most part, you probably couldn't perform either because you're like, I can't even sit up, you know?
It's like, sweetheart, I've got a headache or whatever.
Where's the Tums? You know, I'm dying over here. You know, you're like, I'm waddling back to the house, you know? And I think a lot of us feel that way. So, you know, it's like you have to really realize, what is it in my life that I'm going to eat? What can I not eat? And what's good for me? And I think that's what's so important. And so we'll do a full show on this because water is the basis of life. I want to talk about that on a show. I want to talk about what butter and sauces and other things do to your body. I also want to talk more about the energy drinks out there. I want to talk about alcohol. I want to talk about when people are starving themselves versus the people that are overeating. Okay, because there's a lot of people out there that think that they're on this diet. They've created this diet, but it's really a starvation diet. There's other people out there that have created something that they're overeating on a constant basis and feeling it. And so we really need to have that happy medium. And so because eating is such an important facet of health, we'll do another show on here soon about that, another show that really goes into the intricacies, especially of, you know, basic products that we can use and basic probiotics as well as supplements. So remember, when you're thinking about healthy and you're being healthy, we're being honest, but we're also eating healthy. We're eating wisely. We're eating what's good for us and what makes us feel good. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.